The August 25th edition of the iPhone Photo Show, Jefferson Graham and Scott Bourne. We are here for you. We are previewing that next iPhone, the iPhone 15, expected within a few weeks by the time you're listening to this. And we want Apple to know what we want to see in that new iPhone, don't we, Scott?
As we do every year, and as they do every year, we will be just summarily dismissed and ignored, but it's still fun to have this exercise.
Well, I think some of these things they will actually do, so who knows?
Do you think they'll do it because we suggested it?
Absolutely not. I think whatever they put in a year ago. Don't you?
All right. My point still stands in.
Okay. So how should we do this? I've got my list of eight things, and we have five things that were suggested by the members of the iPhone Photo team, and I have no idea how many things are on Scott's list.
Well, a lot of these. Let's just go through the list first.
Okay. So I'll just start with something that both of us want, and we kind of know it's going to be there, which is USB-C replacing the Lightning power port. Okay, why do we want that, Scott?
Well, because we're hopeful, and this could be completely wrong, but we're hopeful that this will lead to faster transfer speeds because the Lightning port is throttled by nature. The USB-C port is not. Will Apple continue to throttle it so they can force you to iCloud subscriptions? There's 50-50 money on that one. But at least in theory, the USB-C offers more transfer opportunities. Also, it's just, you know, it's a standard cable. We've all got them.
Yeah, well, that's my biggest thing is one cable, one device. Well, actually, one cable, multiple devices. Yeah, well, if you could find a Kmart. Right? But one cable for multiple devices. Just leave the house with that one. You know, I got the situation where you buy a power brick or whatever you want to call them, power bank, and you have to have a USB-C to USB-C to charge it, and then you have to have a USB-C to Lightning to charge your phone, and that's just unacceptable.
Yeah. So Europe is who forced them into doing this, so thanks all of our European listeners. We don't know for sure until we see the phone, but it looks pretty legit that we're going to have USB-C.
Yeah, now the other thing that many people are predicting will be there that both Scott and I want and members of the iPhone Photo team want as well is a real big zoom, whether that be 5X, whether that be 10X. The Samsung Galaxy 23 Plus has a 10X zoom that rocks, and I want the same thing on an iPhone.
Yeah, there's rumors out this week that lens is made by Sony and that it's going to be delayed. So the ultra high definition, best of the best iPhone will maybe be a little late. Everybody else will be able to get their phones right away. But they're saying that one's going to be delayed. And, you know, I'm hoping it's a 10X zoom, Jeff, because frankly, if it's a 5X zoom, I just don't think it matters that much.
Yeah, I agree. It's better than 3, right?
It is, but it's not. It's an iterative step, and what we need to have happen here is for Apple to go big because they're catching up on this side, and you know their revenue from the iPhone is really important to the company. They can only phone it in so long.
Right. Well, they sell 200 million phones a year, and I think it's what 60% of all Apple profits. Right.
Yeah. But the thing is, they can't count on that if they don't continue to innovate. The reason they sell 200 million phones a year is they're doing a good job. But if the competition's cheaper and has better features, that will tempt 5%. Let's say 5% switch. Let me ask you, Jefferson, would you be happy if 5% of your income went away?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
My biggest gripe, and I don't see them changing this, but this is my biggest complaint about the iPhone camera, is the awful digital wheel that comes up and wants you to scroll from 0.5 to 1 to 3, etc. Make it go away. I never want to see that thing again in my life, or at least give me the option to keep it off. What do you say, Scott?
I don't like it, but then again, I probably use the iPhone native camera app far less often than you do, and because I don't use it, I don't see it. And things like the Moment app and the Beastcam app, they don't have that stupid wheel. And you just press the lens that you want and it switches right to it, and that goes away. So I don't see it that often, so it's not as present for me.
Okay, well, that maybe I should start using those apps.
That's the way to kill it, Jeff. Spend $7 and get the Moment app. It's great.
The Moment app. Okay. Okay, so this is a constant that we got from members of the iPhone photo team as well, but make all the lenses the same sensor-wise. Give them the same optics, because right now the wide lens, the 1X lens, is the sharpest, is the one that's best in low light. And it, you know, when you go down to ultra-wide, in a dark situation, it falls apart. They want all three lenses to be the same quality.
It's not going to happen. It's physics. It would be too big a camera bump. That lens has to be really fast. So that's the fastest of the three lenses. You need a faster aperture, which means you need more glass, which means you need bigger glass, which means you need heavier glass times three. People would complain because the phone would be so top heavy if that happened. I mean, you can cheat it with the computational photography that they're using, but I just don't see that they would have three 48 megapixel sensors at the fastest aperture in the camera. And that's the argument to be made for using the add-on lenses over the main lens, camera lens, because then you don't care.
Yeah, and if you didn't listen to that episode, it was from last week. Scott previewed the new add-on lenses for Moment and made a good argument for why you might want to consider them. So go check out that episode. I want a sunshade or something similar. I want this on the iPhone camera. So beyond the digital photo wheel, my biggest gripe is shooting sunsets and having little yellow dots show up all the time. And I could tell you what an Apple product manager said to me when I complained. He said, well, keep moving the camera until you get it out of there. And, well, that's not really the answer. Yeah. How do you feel?
Yeah, it would be great. And I just don't know why somebody like Moment or like Beastgrip haven't come up with a little clip-on filter you could throw as, you know, a lens shape. I mean, they got all kinds of add-on filters you can buy. Why not just come up with a nice little lens shade? I agree with you. It's very difficult. There's a lot of lens flare when you're dealing with the iPhone because you don't have any kind of lens hood. And it wouldn't be that hard to come up with something. I want to say this, just in case any of our listeners are engineers. If you can, you know, give me a drawing that I can get patented, I'll fund this sucker and we'll make it. We'll start a business selling them. And I bet we can sell a couple of million of them, which is all you'd need to do to make a chunk of change.
Yeah, well, there's only, 1.5 billion people who use the iPhone. So that means a lot of people having a problem.
Yeah, so if we had a million of them say they wanted to pay $20 for this, that'd be $20 million. I could justify buying a Cybertruck then.
The only solution I've come up with when you're shooting the sunset and you get the yellow, green dot, whatever, is that you have to maneuver the camera and get that dot into the sun. And if you do that, the sun will make the dot, it will basically melt it away.
Well, there is another solution, but it takes away, it's we're back to that. Might as well bring your DSLR situation. You can rig your camera in a cage, like a small rig cage, and then you can use a real flag like you would in a video camera. If you're using a cinema camera, you'd flag it off and have a hood and all that kind of stuff that attaches to the cage. But now we're back to, you got to carry lots of stuff.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Whereas a nice little clip-on filter would fit in your shirt.
How about a cage that has a little opening on the end for a little sunshade? Wouldn't be bad, right?
Yeah, that could be done too. But I'm just saying right now, if you want to, and I've done it, you can flag it off with a traditional camera cage and all the accoutrements that go with it. But that's really the only way to do it.
Okay, right now. This is a software thing, but I want variable speed time-lapse. Right now, time-lapses are so easy to make on the iPhone. They're fantastic. You click record, and you just let it roll. But I'm not given the options for variable speeds like I can get on the Samsung Galaxy, like I can get on the GoPro, like I can get on the Pixel. I want it. I want it. What do you say?
Yeah. I agree. I think they're just not doing it, Jeff, because they tend to always default towards the lowest common denominator. You can buy third-party apps that do give you that choice, and I use those third-party apps when I want that choice. That's really the only solution. Hey, did we skip one?
I'm not sure, but
transfer data.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
On the iPhone, you have variable speed slow-mo. You can shoot slow-mo or slow mode. Actually, there's three options because you could do super slow in 720 or in 1080, I believe. So there's three options on slow-mo, and I just think they could do that in time-lapse. Easier to transfer. It takes me forever. When I go out and shoot PhotoWalks episodes, and they're all on the iPhone, and I'm getting them into the computer, it takes forever. I want an easier process.
Yeah, this is of my friends who have come to me and said, Scott, I would really like to switch to the iPhone. These are mostly friends in the video world because it shoots ProRes. I could justify putting these cameras in all kinds of places and using them and getting them paid for. But the problem is we just don't have that kind of turnaround time on set. We've got to be doing rushes and dailies are things that the producers look at to see where you're at. You wouldn't get those for a couple of days in a big production if you have to rely on the lightning cable. This is what really bugs me, Jeff. It's no faster on the lightning cable than it is through, you know,
AirDrop.
Wi-Fi. So you use an AirDrop, it's the same speed. So this is why we go back to the first thing we talked about on the show, USB-C, assuming it's not throttled, then that would solve this because it's a lot wider pipe. And it's a big, big problem for the serious professionals. Now, again, the serious professionals make up 2-3% of the iPhone market. I doubt Apple cares.
On the AirDrop thing, so I was moving, let's say, 100 files yesterday. And you select all and you press the button and then it says waiting, 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 waiting. And then it says failed. And then you try again and it says failed. And then you realize, well, I'm sending too many files at once. So I had to do 10 at a time. Well, that's a really nice workflow, isn't it?
Oh, man, I feel your pain, Jeff. I've seen this movie. I have the poster, the T-shirt, the coffee mug. It's the bane of my existence. I tried everything I could to get around this problem. And the only thing that I could think of was to have multiple iPhones and shoot just a short amount of footage per phone and then swap them out and have them be uploading right away. So by the time that somebody needs to look at the footage, then we could provide it. It's horrible. I agree.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I do shoot on multiple phones, but I shoot a lot. One thing, getting back to USB-C, is that on the iPad, which are USB-C, you can connect a hard drive to the iPad. Now, can we connect a hard drive to an iPhone if it has USB-C? Big hope, big pray, big wish?
We can, as long as they don't turn it off. And there'll be big business in phone hacking if they do turn it off, because somebody will be like, well, here's how to jailbreak that. It's just, you know, they want to sell you a subscription. I hereby promise, Apple, if you're listening, to continue my iCloud subscription for eternity, or at least until I die, as long as you let me have the option of transferring cable on a cable as fast. I promise to continue to pay you. Just let me have the cable. How's that for a trade-off?
Okay, so Tim Cook, you heard it here first. We talked about variable speeds for time-lapse. I want variable speed for night mode variable speed. I want longer exposure. I want another option. The best I can get is a virtual 30 seconds, which I don't think is really 30 seconds, but it says it is. I don't think it really is. But why can't I go for a minute? Why can't I go for 2 minutes? I'm on a tripod. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? So on Samsung, I hate to keep going there, but Samsung has an Expert Raw app that lets you set the time. You can go 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. You know, it's a lot of trial and error, but you can do it. So I want that on the iPhone. What do you think, Scott?
Again, there's a dozen apps that'll give you that on the iPhone. You just can't do it in the native camera app. And my guess is that this is, once again, Apple's like, you know, like eight people want that. We're not going to build it in. The other thing I'm betting, because companies like Apple live and die by what the attorneys say, is some attorney is going to say, well, some idiot in Wichita is going to do this on a sunny, hot day and burn up the sensor and then sue us because he cooked the sensor because he did a long exposure for 3 days. My guess is that's a fail-safe to protect against that. It's a simple software fix, and the reason I know it's simple is because I can think of a dozen apps that offer that right now.
Okay, and that would be the Moment app and Darkroom and Halide and things like that?
Even longer, Reflex.
Yeah.
Just basically name them all. They all do that.
I was using Even Longer in South Dakota, shooting the night skies. It's a big 99-cent upgrade to have the ability to shoot RAW. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff where for 99 cents, it's a no-brainer. Extend the ability of your phone. And I think, you know, our audience in particular ought to really be open to exploring and trying these third-party apps, because so many people I know, once they do, they get big aha moments. And they, you know, it was $399 or $799. I mean, you've spent $2,000 to get the best phone. You're not going to spend $8 to make it a little bit better? Come on.
Yeah, as long as it's not $8 a month, right?
Yeah, that I won't do. And that's, you know, I have to apologize to everybody listening right now. I used to recommend Filmic Pro, and they got bought out by a big company that turned them into a monthly subscription deal. And they kind of, in my opinion, crapped all over those of us who had bought it on a supposed buyout before. So I don't recommend Filmic Pro anymore because they switched to one of those monthly subscriptions. And I'm not paying $60 a year to use a piece of software on an iPhone in a world where the App Store price for 80% of the apps is under $2.
Yeah. Let's chime in with some of the members of the iPhone photo team and what they're looking for. Randy O'Hara. I would pass on a longer lens for a better macro. I personally haven't had any macro issues. I don't know what exactly Randy wants, but if Apple wants to make a better macro, I'll take it.
Well, the macro lens is slower. It's only 12 megapixels, and it does have some chromatic aberration and distortion issues, you know, that wouldn't be present if it were a little bit higher quality. Again, I just don't think that they can put the kind of glass there that we need to make that work. My advice to Randy is to do what I'm doing, which is buy the Moment macro lens and put it on your main camera lens on the iPhone, and you will get high quality 48 megapixel great looking images from a macro lens that's just not the built-in one on the camera.
Okay. Jeff Berg wants what I had talked about earlier, which is the top quality sensor for all three cameras. We kind of addressed that. He also says, Hake files can support additional bit depth. Please do that. My number one wish, though, is a software feature. Please give me the ability to create, archive, and access multiple named film recipes, preferably using the full palette of tools available on Fuji cameras. This can be an advanced feature through settings, keeping things simple for the muggles. Got that?
Yeah, I think basically what he's talking about here is creating presets.
Yeah.
And once again, I hate to sound like a broken record, But if you use things like the Moment app, there are certain kinds of presets. Now, are they as defined as like what you can get on my Fuji X100V? No. And if he's talking about true film recipes where we can dial in some Agfa or maybe make it look like Kodachrome, now I do think that would be spectacularly, you know, popular. But again, there are third-party apps that sell you those in the form of filters that are applied instantly. It's not quite the same, but it would be very cool. And if Fuji can do it, Apple ought to be able to do it.
Kevin Barrett and Teresa Babakan both say they want better heat management on the phone. That's not a camera thing, but it's something that we all deal with. As I talked about last week, I was in Moab, and I just got an error message saying, sorry, it's too hot, you can't use your phone. And I think a lot of people have gone through that this summer with they just couldn't use their phone anymore. So,
you know, you can have it good, you can have it fast, you can have it cheap. Pick any two is what the guy used to say to me. And the problem is everybody wants a thin phone, and they want, you know, long battery life, and they want all this stuff. Well, to get that, you got to give up something, and the heat sink is gone because they keep making the phones thinner because they've been told that's what people want. I'll live with a thicker phone to get the heat sink back.
Yeah, definitely. What's on your list, Scott? Do you have anything on your wish list?
Well, I did notice we had on here on somebody else's list, turn off HDR.
Oh, right.
And that would be... that would be one of my biggest ones on the video side, because with the exception of using Filmic Pro, which I don't want to use anymore, and you can't even turn it off there, you can mitigate it. The problem is if you're in a situation, a high contrast situation, or a situation where, let's say, there's some flashing lights, the camera is constantly adjusting the white balance and the exposure information in the form of its HDR engine. So you're making a video and you've got this flicker and you can't turn it off. It just drives me nuts. So unless I can shoot in constant light generally that I bring to the set, I'm restricted in using my iPhone for video because I can't turn off the dadgum HDR. And I really wish we could. It's just a simple switch, fellas. It's a simple switch.
Yeah,
let us.
I did
that. That would be after USB-C with high transfer rates. That would be my biggest request.
So I did a shoot 9 months ago or something like that. I did a bunch of people down at the beach. I took a picture of them on my Sony, and I had a giant white sky. And I go, that looks awful. I think I'll take it with the iPhone. And I shot it with them with the iPhone, and I had a big blue sky because I got the multiple exposures, and Apple likes to fake the sky. And I showed it to a friend of mine. I said, what do you think? He says, well, it's a fake sky. I said, yeah, but that's what the client would expect. But that said, maybe I don't want the fake sky. Maybe I'd like to not have the fake sky with my iPhone.
Well, they're thinking about mom and pop and gramps and grandma, and they want the fake sky. 95% of the people do not want to sit there and do complicated post-processing in a RAW converter. And Apple knows this, so they can tell the rest of us to go pound sand. And instead of selling 200 million phones, they'll sell 199.99 million phones. And that the accountants can deal with. It's just not something they're going to fix for us, I doubt. But I wish they would, because I think that it makes sense to have it set up default when you get the phone that the HDR is on. And so mom and pop get those shots with the blue sky. But give serious photographers and video makers an option to go through the menu as you do on several other features and to disable that.
Yeah, and the problem is that 200 million sold, what do you think? A serious folks is 100,000 of that, if that?
It's an infinitesimal amount. I've done studies on this. I used to be president of a software company, and I kept hearing everybody say, why don't you take on Lightroom? And I looked at that equation from a business point of view and said, well, there's a roughly 4.5 million Lightroom users out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people that don't use Lightroom. I think I'd rather go after that market. And I don't have to hit all of that market to be wildly financially successful. And that's what Apple's doing. And listen, it's worked for them. They created a category. I mean, when the iPhone first came out, I'll never forget John C. Dvorak saying it'll never work. It's going to be a fad. Everybody thought it should be a Palm Pilot like we already had. The BlackBerry was big. They've destroyed all that. It's a world category. It's basically an industrial revolution. And, you know, who are we to say they got it wrong? There's just a few things that I think you're going to have to face facts. You're going to have to go to third-party apps, Jeff, because almost everything we've mentioned, with the exception of faster transfer speeds, physical changes to the glass, et cetera, can be had, or a proximity of it can be had, with a third-party app and not going to break the bank.
Okay, so I think for next week's episode, I will report on my week with the third-party apps, and we'll see how it goes.
Excellent.
Right?
Excellent. I think most people are not even aware of them. Like, for instance, almost everybody I know has Lightroom on their phone. You can capture from Lightroom.
Yes, you can.
And it does a very good job of giving you more control. So you've probably already got some of these apps. Just go ahead and mess around with them.
Okay. And I use the Lightroom app. The Lightroom app is free to everybody, even if they're not a Creative Cloud subscriber, but there are additional features if you do subscribe to Creative Cloud, including the masking, which is fantastic. We expect the new iPhone to be introduced on September 6th and to be in the stores either on the 15th or the 22nd, correct?
And thereabouts.
Yes.
I mean, it's always a guessing game exactly what day we're. I do believe the reports about Sony being slow on the sensors, just because that's what Sony likes to do. I think one of the downfalls of the entire photography industry has been the reliance on Sony to make sensors. What a bad business decision. People like Olympus and Apple are like, oh, let's let our competitor make our lenses. Sure, they won't mess around with us. We're too big a client. You think? Got news for you. They don't mind messing around with you at all. So there's always like one iteration of sensor on the Sony stuff that's just a little bit better. And they're holding that back for 6 months or a year to give themselves a competitive advantage. I don't know if this particular delay that we're reading about is something like that, or if it's just a supply side issue. There are still holes in the supply chain. And Asia did have much bigger problems with COVID than most of us know. So we'll see. We'll find out. Hopefully it's not true and that the new phones that are top of the line will be shipping. If they're not, it gives me an excuse to hold off for a few weeks.
Yeah. Traditionally, Apple introduces the new iPhone a few days after Labor Day. At the worst, it could be the next week. It could be the 13th. But it's definitely out by the end of September. Whether all the iPhones will be out by the end of September, that's an open question. But they will have a new iPhone out by the end of September, right?
One thing I want to bring up that I think is important, Jeff, is I don't think that the iPhone 15 is going to be that big a deal for the pros. I think that's the iPhone 16. But what I do think is going to be special about the iPhone 15 is the iPhone 14 Pro has, not the Pro Max, just the Pro, has some features that you'll see move into the lower priced phones on the 15. And you'll get the better cameras and the better, you know, sensors, processors, et cetera, even on the lower tiered phones. And that's where I think it's going to be a big kind of aha deal, where people that don't want to spend $2,000 are finally going to be able to get, you know, last season's best quality at a cheaper price. Okay, I think that real bargain will come in there.
I should just note that Scott pays $2,000 for the phone that has a list price of $1,100, but he gets it with the AppleCare and the most storage possible, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the list price is. I just know I've never walked out of there for under $2,000 because I live in Washington State. We have 10% sales tax, and I do pay for AppleCare, and I do get the max amount of RAM, which right now, we don't know what that's going to be on the iPhone 15. We're hearing rumors that it could be a lot.
Well, but, I saw one piece today said it's going to have 2 terabytes instead of 1 terabyte. Yeah. So that'll be pricey.
So add another $200 to $400 because Apple charges a lot for its RAM. And I've been yelled at my entire life because I buy Apple RAM, and people keep saying, you know, that's expensive. And I'm like, yeah, but it's fast and it's easy and I don't have to futz with it. And I got the money. So
right.
I'm going to buy
also,
it.
I've done a lot of looking at people's search, you know, and there's Google search, and I've talked about Mylio, and I've talked about SmugMug, and I've talked about Amazon, and everybody's search. And you know who has the best search? Apple on the device has the best search.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, most effective. Let's remind everybody about the iPhone photo team. Have you written it? Did you have anything new there this week?
I did a post there this week, yeah. I've already forgotten what it's about because I'm already working on the next post. Oh, I wrote a post on 5 things to watch out for if you're shooting serious video. And that HDR thing is one of the 5. So that's over there. There's free stuff there. It's a free community. There's a lot of people who will support you. You can post your pictures there. And it's all free, iPhonePhotoTeam.com. Join and participate. We're going to go back to contest real soon here, any day maybe. Certainly by next month, I think we're going to have some more contests, giving stuff away. And come on by.
iPhonePhotoTeam.com, show your work. I don't think there's any place easier to upload a photo and to get great feedback from like-minded people like yourself. So check out Scott and I there as well as the community. But I have a website, jeffersongraham.net. Scott has a website for his toy photography. Tell everybody about that one.
Well, I'm kind of moving everything into my Hot Wheels zone because I've just really fallen in love with photographing die-cast cars. So I've got a new URL. It's die-cast car love, DieCastCarLove. And I post pictures and reviews and all kinds of stuff about die-cast cars. And you're saying to yourself, a grown man playing with Hot Wheels, get over it because there's millions of us. It's just the way it works. And I'm having fun. So I'm an old man. I'm allowed to have fun. That's what I'm doing. I'm not doing any serious photography these days. I'm just having fun. And it's the first time in my life, Jefferson, I've had fun. I started my career as a professional photographer. Most people become a professional photographer after it was their hobby. I never got to experience as a hobby. So for me, I'm sort of like Benjamin Buttons here. I'm going the other direction, and I'm just having the time of my life. So yeah,
Your first photograph was on the front page of the Indianapolis Star. Did I get that story right?
My first paid photograph. Yeah, not just the Indianapolis Star. It was picked up in just about every newspaper in the country. It was Associated Press. I was stringing for Associated Press, and Tom Sneva had the good sense to crash right in front of me. Thanks, Tom Sneva. And I just did what everybody else was doing around me and took the picture, and somehow mine came out the best. And we were standing at a place where this year you couldn't even get close to. We were right out in the infield back in those days. Now you're way behind a fence for safety's sake. But I felt the heat of the engine as it bounced past me. I had no idea what was going to happen to me, but I made $2,000 for that photograph, which was more money than I thought God had ever printed. At the time, it would have bought a brand new Camaro, I'll point out. So that's when I said, I'm going to be a professional photographer. And I started shooting motorsports.
Yeah, my first published photo was in the Berkshire Eagle in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. It was of a little kid who called himself Mr. Cookie. So
there you go.
But they didn't pay me anything for that. But anyway, folks, let's see which one of these predictions and wishes come true. I think you could take USB and USB-C and the longer zoom to the bank. We'll see about the other ones. But we'll let you know as soon as they're announced. Look for us at the iPhone Photo Team. I'm Jefferson Graham on PhotoWatch TV this weekend. We go to Monument Valley, shot on an iPhone. And I got some pretty great stuff and lots of really wonderful time lapses.
Looking forward to it, Jeff.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.